The Three Awful Woes. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. Revelation 8:13. Revelation 8:13 is in fact the introduction of Revelation 9. The revised version says, An eagle was what John saw. This is correct, no doubt. That messenger, like the eagle that hasteth to the prey, Job 9:26, will be moved by divine indignation to go quickly and announce the three woes. It will not be our Lord, but some unflinching herald of his who will declare the rapid increase of the divine judgments. The Lord may cause some of his servants to travel miraculously through the air in that day, even as he did Philip in Acts chapter 8. First woe, pit of the abyss. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Revelation 9:1-3. This is an important point. Here we are 250 days before the middle of the week, or 2 years, 9 months, and 20 days, 1010 days from its commencement. This is the beginning of the first woe, which continues exactly 5 months, or 150 days, Revelation 9:5. The second woe covers 100 days, ending with the ascension of the two witnesses, Revelation 11:13-14. Thus the third woe will occupy the time of the man of sin reigning as God, that is, 3.5 years. This star is Satan himself, called Lucifer, day star, son of the morning, whom Isaiah saw cast down, Isaiah 14:12-15. Jesus saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven, Luke 10:18. This is the great red dragon cast down from heaven, Revelation 12:9. He is in contrast with the bride and morning star of Revelation 22:16. In the Old Testament, the home of the departed spirits, whether saved or unsaved, is expressed by the word hell. In the Hebrew, it's Sheol, a very deep place down in the earth, Job 11:8. It is called also the nether parts of the earth, Ezekiel 31:16. The wicked dead are in lowest hell, Sheol, Deuteronomy 32:22, and Psalm 86:13. The Hebrew for pit in Numbers 16:30-33 is Sheol. In the New Testament, the abode of departed spirits is expressed by the word hell, Greek Hades, Matthew 11:23, Gehenna, Matthew 5:22, and Tartarus, 2 Peter 2:4. We also read the lower parts of the earth, Ephesians 4:9, prison, 1 Peter 3:19, the deep, Greek, abyssos, meaning abyss, Luke 8:31 and Romans 10:7, and bottomless pit, Greek, abyssos, meaning abyss, Revelation 11:7 and 17:8. And 20:1-3. The pit of the abyss, in the Greek, phratos tes abyssor, occurs only in the revised version of Revelation 9:1. The abode of the saved, departed spirits is expressed also by the words Abraham's bosom and paradise, Luke 16:22 and 23:43. All the above words or expressions except Gehenna refer to the homes of the departed from the beginning until Christ was raised from the dead. Gehenna refers to the lake of fire, the abode of the devil and the wicked after the millennium, Revelation 19:20 and 20:10 and 14:15. The Greek word phrear, translated pit in Revelation 9:1-2, etc., is translated pit in Luke 14:5, and well in John 4:11-12. The latter citation indicates that it expresses depth. It is defined in the Greek as a pit, a dungeon, a well, a deep, dark channel or cavern. Its use in the Old Testament conveys the same meanings. Doubtless, the pit, in connection with the abyss, Revelation 9:1, means the aperture or shaft that leads down to the pit. The Greek word abyssos as an adjective means enormous or unfathomed. Though the abyss was the great habitation of all the dead before Jesus came, since Jesus arose from the grave, it is inhabited only by the wicked dead. The righteous see afar off from the wicked, separated by a great gulf fixed, Luke 16, verses 23-26. But Jesus Christ depopulated upper Hades, Sheol, the upper part of the abyss. Compare Ephesians 4, verses 8 and through 10 with 1 Peter 3:19. The believing dead were not in a place of darkness. Romans 10:8 suggests this. Who shall descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up? Compare 1 Peter 3:19. Jesus went to the prisoners of hope, Zechariah 9:12, in Abraham's bosom, Luke 16:22, for they had died in the faith, and he led them out and took them to heaven when he ascended on high. Our Lord has the key of Hades and death, that is, authority and power over the dead. At the time of which John writes, he will allow Satan to open the pit and bring up many of its inhabitants, for demons dwell there as well as lost souls, Luke 8:31. Satan is the prince, the god of this world, John 12:31, 2 Corinthians 4:4. This office was given him before he fell. Jesus Christ, the Prince of Life, took it from him provisionally at Calvary, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, Hebrews 2:14. By the brightness of his coming, our Lord will actually annul all Satan's power and hurl him down into the very pit which 3.5 years before he will have the power to unlock, Revelation 20, verses 1 and 3 through 3. The Prince of Life will overthrow the Prince of Death, the dominion which Satan lost through ignominious pride and self-will, Jesus Christ gains through true humility and a submissive will to the Father. Reader, with which are you allied? The locust army. The locusts which come out of the smoke are demons come up from hell. These will possess and empower wicked men, filling them with satanic hate. At no time could men continue to fight and shed the blood of their fellows with pleasure if they were not supernaturally endued with the devil. It has been dreadful enough in the past, but oh, how terrible it will be in the beginning of the next age when Satan himself, with his organized forces of heaven, will fall unto the earth and his demon hordes will come up from the abyss. And with all his accumulated wisdom and power, he will possess the nations, and they will fight one another as never before. However, God will protect his own people, seen in the vision as grass, green things, and trees. For 5 months, the locusts will be allowed to torment unbelievers, but not kill them. The first woe of 150 days will be a preparatory period for more troubles. Armies will be organizing. Local wars and rumors of wars will so alarm the people that many will seek death in vain. The boasted peace and safety league will be broken forever. One man, filled and controlled by the devil, will have supremacy. Joel had foretold of this locust-like horde, terming them caterpillars, palmer worms, canker worms, and locusts. Those nations were used of the Lord to chastise the Jews, hence called his army a very great camp, Joel 1 and 2. But afterwards he will take vengeance upon those nations, see Zechariah 14, verse 3. They have over them as king the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he has the name Apollyon, Revelation 9, verse 11 of the Revised Version. The Hebrew word means destruction, and the Greek word means destroyer. Satan himself is that king. He will come down to the earth as the Jews' adversary. The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, 1 Peter 5:8. He is the star from heaven named in verse 1 of this chapter, Revelation 9. The second woe. One woe is past. Behold, there come two woes more hereafter, Revelation 9, verse 12. The first and second woes complement each other. The first is preparatory, as prepared unto battle, Revelation 9, 7, whereas the second suggests the conflict begun. The language describing those armies indicates that they are the same company. While in preparation for war, they torment men 5 months. Men shall seek death and shall not find it, Revelation 9, verses 5, 6, and 10. Forerunning skirmishes and the horrors of war will be to many as scorpion stings. Many families, whose sons will be summoned to battle, with breaking hearts will seek to die. The World War of 1914 through 18 was so unspeakably devilish that most of the surviving soldiers long to forget it by refusing to speak of it. The forebodings of the present World War, World War II, are so fearful that they are a scorpion sting. The next one will be incomparably worse. How foolish of believers to insist that we must be here and pass through the tribulation period. Why not believe what is written? I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Revelation 3:10. And the sixth angel sounded, Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Revelation 9, verses 13 and 14. Those four angels are called four winds. Revelation 7:1, which means four nation-ruling evil spirits or princes, Daniel 10, verses 20 and 21. As the angel Michael was a good spirit prince doing God's will, so there are evil spirit princes which serve Satan. Since the devil is the god of this world, he controls the rulers of the nations through his angel princes. Evidently, four national powers beyond the Euphrates will couch lion-like, and when the divine restraint is removed, they will rush in upon the Holy Land. After Satan is cast down, he will bring up from the pit his demon hordes, by whom he will inflame a great company from the east. The number which John saw, 200 million, is about 1/10 of the present population of the globe. The census of 1938 was 2,012,000,000. No matter what mischievous purpose men may conceive against God's people, Ezekiel 34:10, they cannot move except as he allows them. For comfort, read Deuteronomy 32, verses 8 and 9. That mighty eastern army will open fire on a certain previously determined hour, God sets the time, of a certain day, of a certain month, of a certain year, literally the hour and the year, Revelation 9, verse 15. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Revelation 9:17. John marveled at the striking appearance of the horses. Their description, together with the fire and smoke and brimstone which issued from their mouths, suggests that they will be the most deadly war weapons that devil-inspired men can make. The battle tanks of the present great conflict belch from both ends like volcanoes. Death-dealing shot mingled with liquid fire are an earnest of what is coming. In the air, on the waters, and on the land, many kinds of instruments of offense and defense are operating by all the nations. Millions of dollars are spent on national and international destruction. John emphasizes three elements of quick devastation. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouth, Revelation 9:15. The phrase, the third part of men, no doubt means a third part of the world's population. Today, 1/3 of the world's population is 670,666,666. Note the repetition of the figure 6. For the census of 1938 gives the population of the world as 2,012,000,000 in Hammond's Modern Atlas of the World. Since 1930, the population has increased 75.5 million. Divine judgments are already falling on the world, the dizzying earnests of those in the near future. In Revelation 8, it is said that the third part of nine great essentials will be affected seriously under the prophesied woes. What will be the moral result? Will the people be changed Godward? Read the report. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, neither repented they of their murders. Revelation 9, verses 20 through 21. Move forward. To the front of the car, where the air and the vision are clear. Keep the aisle open, friends. Heed the star. Void the panic, the crowd in the rear. Move forward. There's nothing to fear. Why so few in the front of God's car? There are too many thronging the aisle. Oh, so few have their eyes on the star and are pressing right through all the while, like the one Christ healed with a smile. There is room in the front of God's car, and the vacant seats call you that way. Oh, beloved, why heed not the star who is longing to bring in his day? Move forward, press onward. Why stay?